So today we're joined by the chair of Bury FC Supporter Society, Daniel Barbank. Daniel, a very good afternoon to you.
Yeah, very good afternoon, Adam. Hope all is well, mate.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks. Obviously, it's been another busy week, you could say, for football in Bury. Obviously, last Friday, the results of the merger votes was announced. Obviously, not passing through the Bury FC Supporters Society. First of all, what was your sort of initial reaction to the results of both votes?
The initial reaction from both our side and the benefactors' side, we've been in this situation for since February. We started talks with an MOU with the Bury AFC. We give the members the opportunity to voice what their opinions were. We expected it to be close, which it was. And obviously, we've always had to plan for plan A and plan B. We've always had to have that up, it'd be working behind the scenes, because you don't know what the decision is going to be until it's finished. So, some were disappointed. It's been a long time. Many meetings, many late nights, many emails, everything. We've just got to get on with it. Some people are happy, some people are sad. You're never going to appease everybody. And I said this to everybody on Friday once I announced the vote. You're not going to appease everybody. At the end of the day, Bury fans, they've split. Bury fans, some watch Bury AFC, some haven't watched any football, some are watching other local football clubs. You're not going to appease everybody. And at the end of the day, the members voted for what they voted for. It's not to say in the future there's nothing that we can have a look at and redo. Look at the stats that 94% of Bury AFC supporters wanted to watch football at Gig Lane. That's a positive in itself. That's completely... That's really where we're at. We're just trying to, work out. We've got a plan. We've got to keep our. We've got to keep, the momentum going now in regards to the coverage of the stadium, in regards to what we're trying to achieve. It's got to be sustainable. That's what it has been. The last few months of accounts have shown that. And then we can go from there and see. So some people, like I said, some people would be disappointed. Some people would have thought it was a yes all the way. Some people would have thought it would be a no all the way. We've just got to, follow everything through and make sure the stadium's sustainable. And then we've obviously got our tick boxes and stuff to achieve now to try and get men's football back at Gig Lane next August.
You mentioned about the sort of pitch and the stadium at Gig Lane being sustainable. Obviously, you've played a lot of games, whether that be Bury FC Women's Foundation team playing there, whether that be charity games, whether that be other local grassroots teams. Obviously, yesterday we saw the game that was supposed to be at Gig Lane postponed yesterday. Yeah. How is the surface looking, and is there sort of any maybe concerns for it going over into the winter period?
Not regarding that point of view. We did have a maintenance schedule which pushed us 3 weeks behind because the seed didn't arrive. So we are on with that now with the ground contractors. If that was there, then that would have been fine. But there was a lot of games called off over the weekend. Even some local games up here for women's football. They ended up playing on a 3G pitch because their actual home pitch was called off as well. Likewise down the road on Saturdays and things. So it is one of them weekends where when the weather is bad, you've got to look after and protect your pitch. They're fully on board with that. We've arranged our financial schedule to raise the most money between March and September, with very little use over the winter periods to obviously continue to maintain it, which will obviously change once elite football is back there. We'll obviously review it every single time we use it to see what we can and can't achieve. We're quite comfortable, the contractors were comfortable, and until the delay on the renovations, that it will still stand up. Obviously, but we have got less games, which is scheduled to have less games over the winter period. As with any venue, so we'll continue to do that and continue to work with that with the contractors on that.
Obviously, a 3G pitch has been talked about in sort of at Gig Lane since the Bury FC Supporters Society and the benefactors were able to buy the ground. Is that still in the plans maybe for the short to medium term and maybe even the long term?
I think there's always going to be plans for, you know, plans for 3G pitch. You know, the cost implications from since when we first had a look at the stadium, you know, back in February, you know, obviously part of the government plan was to look to install a 3G pitch if it was financially viable to do so. And that was back in the October before we purchased the stadium fully in the February. Since then, obviously, the cost of living and obviously inflation has been massive compared to that. You know, I think the last quote we got from, and that was, you know, with support from the Football Supporters Association, was around 1.4 million. You know, so even if you're getting some, you know, 75% worth of funding, which is flexible on each, you know, application, you know, your costs are still quite high. You know, so you've still got to find quite a lot of revenue before you can obviously start that work. So obviously, it's going to maintain to be a grass pitch for now. But obviously in the future, in the coming months, in the coming years, it could change to an artificial pitch. It, you know, should the cost reduce, or should, you know, we should get some additional benefactor funding, which we did receive some on Friday evening.
You mentioned sort of elite football coming back to Gig Lane for hopefully next season. What conversations have you had with the FA and other parties involved in sort of assigning you a league place since Friday's vote?
Yeah, so I mean, we've not had any conversation since Friday. You know, we are due to pick them up this week and next week. We already had meetings scheduled in, you know, should the vote go no. Like I said, we had to plan, you know, to make sure all the deadlines and stuff have been hit. You know, we have met with football and authorities. We've met with groups. We've met with the leagues, you know, just having conversations to see, you know, what their aspects are of, you know, looking at how they can, you know, where we would be, where we could start, etc. You know, we've got to make sure we've got all the foundations built. So you've got your affiliation number, you know, then you start to look at applying for leagues when the applications open, before they close, then they'll let you know. And then you can sort of plan your future out from there. You know, so we've got to run the stadium as it is sustainable until such time we know we're going to have men's football, and we can then start selling season tickets, etc. going forward from that point. Until then, obviously, we need more members. We need people to obviously continue to support the society, because at the end of the day, it's a community asset. You know, they're not supporting a football team at the minute. They're supporting a community asset with the ambitions to bring a football team back to the stadium. And once we can do that and we can announce that to our members, then we will do. But for now, obviously, we've got to continue our talks. And then once we've got any information, we can then relay that back to our members to do so.
Have you got a hopeful timeline in place for some of those things you mentioned there, sort of getting a league place and getting season tickets on sale, to sort of be able to, for Bury FC Supporter Society members and others, to be able to get back watching elite football at Gig Lane?
Yeah, so obviously we've got the affiliation number. Obviously we applied for that. We've got that. You know, that's obviously the first part of it. Then you need to get the league application in. So that's got to be done by the end of January. Then they have to review it and they'll give it you back, you know. So you probably know around sometime towards the end of April, beginning of May, once all the league structures have been done. You know, some teams could get promoted, some teams probably don't have the facilities to get promoted. You know, that's what happens at lower level non-league football. You know, I've got a lot of friends that work in football at that level. You know, we've got the experience of certain individuals that you know, supported us with putting the business plan and the business case study together, you know, for football, you know, giving a realistic budget of what we think and what they thought. You know, so you've got to get through these processes. The leagues have got to finish before you find out, you know, you could potentially find out, you know, in June. You know, that's the likelihood of non-league football. However, the players are on dual registration contracts, they're on non-contract terms, most of them at non-league level. So, you know, finding the right management team and the right management structure, you know, that understands the non-league level is critical. You know, and they'll understand and they'll fully be aware of how it works. You know, some of these managers probably have their own players that they obviously they work with and could trust to build something. So, you know, by May, June, probably that's when you'll get your answer, because obviously the leagues have got to finish. They've got to have the playoffs and everything else as well, and then find out what teams can go up because the stadiums are suitable, what teams can't, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of, you know, little bits that the leagues have got to do and work out themselves as well, rather than, you know, but we've just got to make sure we can get the applications in with a full business study and obviously we explain our situation with people.
Obviously, May and June would give you a sort of a quite tight turnaround to make sure that everything's in place to sort of start a league campaign in August, sort of August, September time. Are you sort of forward planning for certain events? Are you looking at the moment to maybe appoint a manager in the interim to sort of get things moving? Because obviously you might end up having quite a short turnaround.
Yeah, it'll be a short turnaround. You know, we'll get to you know, the end of January. You know, we'll have some conversations, you know, with the league and you know, with the FA and with the LFA. You know, we'll work out what their suggestions are and what they think at that point. And I think that's when you could then sort of then look to start work, you know, working with appointing a manager and going with your application, you know, extending that way. You know, the more people you have, the more members you have, the easier it is for the people to look and see where you've got your membership and what numbers are at, because then you can look at what leagues we'll be able to look at, you know, sort of accommodate in regards to that point regarding, you know, police bills, etc. You know, so if you're, say you've got 400, 500, 600 members, you know, the police can't put you certain levels because there might not be enough police or stewarding costs and clubs might not generate that much money. Whereas if you're getting 700, 800, it's completely different. And it's not to say that that's going to guarantee you a different league change. It's just going to help you along the way of giving the leagues, when you submit your application of what you think you're going to get, it's more or less giving them, oh, actually, they said they're going to get this many people, so they're actually looking at this many people. So we can sort of, business plan-wise, they can actually look across the board and say, well, they probably are going to get that many people, so we can work with them and make sure that they're in a sustainable place of what you know, the lower ends of the Northwest Counties are, or where it'll be, you know.
Have you got a league in mind that you're hopeful that you'll start in?
We're just one of them. If I'm honest with you, Northwest Counties Division One would be suffice for football, you know, at Gig Lane. It'll be, you know, starting at the bottom. Obviously, you know, we understand that that's where Bury FC started. We understand Macclesfield started higher, but then obviously they was completely different. You know, and it's just where, I think that's just wherever they can fit a new football team in. Obviously, you've got different opportunities. You've got to potentially start in a feeder league as a new club. However, you know, so you've got spaces in the Northwest Counties should teams not be able to get promoted. You know, there's a lot of different things, I think, that people have to sort of look at across the board, rather than it just being you can apply for that league and you get accepted or rejected. There's a lot of different, you know, scenarios that they have to put together before you get to find out your information, which is where you end up then with your manager, maybe your short window. You know, we've got to make sure that from our point of view, that the stadium is continuing to be sustainable, which it is. But we also got to ensure that we've got our ground safety certificate in full. We've also got to make sure we're, you know, submitting the lux test readings for the floodlights to make sure, because that's part of the application. You know, so there's a lot of different things that we can do. We're still ticking these boxes as we go. And that's where we'll go from there, really.
Obviously, the majority of your members did vote yes to a merger. In your opinion, what was needed for the 286 people that voted no to have agreed to a merger?
It's one of them. Like I said, you know, it's difficult. You know, some people just haven't been watching football. I don't think. I think that's the be all and end all from it. You know, some of the members haven't been watching football. They didn't want to. They didn't choose or want to go and watch Bury FC. Some have been. You know, I've been reading some of the comments on social media over the weekend. Some have been, and it wasn't football for them because it wasn't at Gig Lane. You know, so I think there's quite a few little bits in it. You know, from the talks that we've had with the council meetings and the working group meetings, there's always a few issues that were always thrown around. You know, they're bound under MOUs, but you know, people were informed, you know, from myself and a few others in these groups what we think would get this vote through. They didn't really change, shall I say. And that's the only thing we can think of is when we, you know, we sat down and we spoke on Friday. The 286 people, I don't think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I don't think it gives a true reflection, because of quite a few members on both parties are also watching Bury AFC. So I don't think it gives a true reflection, you know, of if some are already watching football, they're going to vote yes. You know, so potentially some of them could already be Bury AFC supporters, which doesn't give a true reflection of your membership and your database. But that's for us now to understand our members of who's watched football, who hasn't watched football, who were the 286, because it was done by an independent company, who was the 286 that voted against it, you know, and give them a voice now for us to understand why they voted against it, and then obviously to help us then to take the you know, the stadium and football and everything else to the next level, to bringing it back is what we said we'd try and do. So that's what we'll do.
So from what you were saying there, you're sort of going to look to maybe survey the members that you have got and sort of to get a bit more idea of what their thoughts and opinions are.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, you've got to do that. We did say when we got the stadium, we did say it was 50-50 with the benefactors. You know, final vote goes with our chairman or the chairman of the Bury Football Club board, who there's four Bury Football Club Support Society members on there, and there's three benefactors on there. That board was going to be in place no matter what the vote was. You know, it could have been a couple of Shakers community on there as well as Bury Football Club Support Society, but obviously with the vote, it'll stay as it is now. We've got to understand your members, and I think finalising and understanding who has watched football, who hasn't watched football, who's a member of another society, will give you a true reflection of the membership that you've actually got. You know, we're saying obviously at the minute it's 286 people that squashed this. You know, there's a high proportion of people that voted for it, which, yeah, we get that. We're fully understanding that's the membership and that's the democracy of it. But we've got to understand that what the 286 wanted and what the others wanted, and if they've been watching football, is that why they voted for it? Because they want to just watch that, you know, the football team, Bury AFC, playing at Gig Lane. So we've got to understand our membership as well. You know, we've also got to remain sustainable, and people, obviously, you'll see a lot of different things going out over the coming weeks and months, you know, new sponsors, new benefactors, etc. From that point of view, from our point of view, because we've got to ensure that we're sustainable. We've still got the plan of works that we've got, that we're doing with the pitch, and we're doing everything else in the summer. We spent very little on the pitch this year because we just needed to get, you know, we didn't have the money that we was getting into the stadium was going into the main things like your CCTV, your fire alarm and everything else that we needed to get the stadium up and running to have football there. So there was very, very minimal investment into the pitch in the summer. So we know it's going to be a bit rough, you know, people are aware of that, but it's not going to be perfect. But then next year when we do the renovations, it will be perfect then for how we maintain it and look after it. So we are understanding, we do know that we're going to get a lot of complaints from people that outside of the football world. Maybe they'll get cancelled, maybe the other games will be off, but we'll protect it as best we can. And that's what we'll do with everything around the stadium, you know, such as, you know, making sure that everything's energy efficient, and we'll work our way through all that side as well.
And sort of looking forward, Dan, is there going to be more sort of documentation published in sort of terms of a business plan going forward for Bury FC Supporter Society on the back of now there's no merger going through?
Yeah, there will be. Like I said, the business plan has been seen by five or six non-league clubs. You know, that works right the way through from the North West Counties Division 1 to North West Counties, you know, right the way through to National League North. You know, so there's a few clubs. There's also a club that was in the conference not too long back. You know, we've spoke to them because I've got relationships right across the board on that. They've all looked at it. They give their feedback. You know, we can then submit that. You know, we are going to submit that to the North West Counties to have a review of it. Because as part of one of the conversations we had, they said they would help and support, obviously having a look at the stadium that we've got, etc. So, you know, once we get the final few bits in, we've just amended a few bits now because obviously there is no different parts of missing sort of benefactors currently. Benefactors new, we've had to add a few extra columns in and a few extra rows. But yeah, once that's all done and we're happy with that, you know, we'll send that out and our members can have a look at that.
And just finally on the benefactors front, you mentioned sort of new benefactors coming in. Is there going to be any details published on who they are? And secondly, the existing benefactors that you've had sort of supporting this since you purchased Gig Lane, are they staying on board?
Yeah, the conversation that we had was that they would all remain on board. They'd all be remain. They would, you know, they've got to then look at what their you know, what they want to achieve out of it. The existing benefactors, you know, there's a lot of them bring experience and different things to the table. So the new benefactors, you know, there's conversations going on at the minute. Like I said, there is two, potentially another couple, that we're working with, you know, and we've got the conversations to have with these people. You can see on social media the amount of abuse that everybody's getting. You know, the people have had abuse for the last 3.5 years. You know, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get better in some ways. You know, and until it all calms down, you know, there's no point in putting any new or existing benefactors under that microscope, because all people will do is, like some people have done in the past with previous people that wanted to sort of try and help or get involved, or their names were bandied around, they've just been abused, and they've just been, it's not right for them and their families and their businesses to do that. We want to announce them. We've had the conversation with them. We want to announce them, but for their benefit at the minute, you know, it's down to them if their business is active on social media, if their business isn't, or if people know who they are, it's down to them to make that final decision. We can only offer our words of what's going on social media. If they want to have a look at it, they can have a look at it before they can do that. But at some point, they will be announced at some point. But we're just, you know, like I said, we've got to work behind the scenes. We're going to continue to do what we're trying to do, and we'll continue to do that.
Is there any details on the new benefactors that you can give us at this stage?
Not at this stage, no. Like I said, it's just, we had the conversation on Friday that the new benefactor was introduced to two of the existing benefactors. They've now got to do their due diligence from their point of view. We've done ours. They've got to do their due diligence on them. And if they're happy, then obviously they'll look to accept them into the Bury FC benefactors. You know, so there is still some stages that people have to go through. You know, we can do all our vetting process. We can submit everything. You know, we've had people check theirs. We've done it the right way. It's now been sent to the Bury FC benefactors officially, and then they'll do their checks and anything else that they need, and then hopefully then they'll accept these people onto the board.
Well, it's something we'll keep across. Daniel Barbank from Bury FC Supporters Society, many thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Adam. Cheers, mate.